2 Kings chapter 4. I tell you what, the world we're living in, we've become so accustomed. And I think it was Brother Veal I was talking to today that was talking about or maybe it was Robbie, we were talking about normal, you know, normal and getting back to a new normal or adjusting to this normal that we're in now. This normal is full of grief, isn't it? It's full of grief. It's full of sorrow and uncertainty. Uncertainty. Variant, that variant is changing. It's mutating, and old rules don't work anymore. And the new rules, nobody knows what the new rules can be. And by the way, I say this: I know we've tried to throw everything at this thing, but we haven't figured it out yet, have we? And so. That's the world we're living in. Unfortunately, the worst part of this is that we're losing people we love. We're losing friends and family. I think 5 or 6 churches I could name have lost pastors. Their pastor got it and died. Missionaries have passed away. And so we're just kind of in an upheaval. We look at Elijah here in 2 Kings chapter 4 and Elisha. We find a woman here who was experiencing a lot of the same things that we are, but more. Look at what it says. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha. So this is someone who is in ministry, right? They're involved in ministry. They're involved in, you know, of course it's Old Testament, but we use the term church. They're doing God's work. She was the wife of a prophet, of a student prophet, a preacher boy, as we say today, and now her husband's dead. And these are some things that many in this room are very familiar with, the loss. And it says that she came unto Elisha saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant that thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." So her husband is dead. She's got heartache. She's got heartbreak. She's got grief. She's got sorrow, sadness, whatever term you want to put on it. Her heart is broken. Her life is changed. People talk about, you know, "I never knew that it was going to be like this when my spouse died, and I didn't know I was going to have to do this, and he always did this, or she always did that, this." And so she's having to learn here, this woman is having to learn how to live life without her partner, without the one that she loved and had anticipated living her whole life with. And so she's having to adjust. She's having to learn that, and it's hard, isn't it? And then secondly, we see that her debt is so much. Now her husband's gone. She has no means of support, no way to support her family. She's in crisis. She's in fear. And again, what are we experiencing today? We're experiencing death. We're experiencing financial crisis. Some people had last year lost their jobs. And I know today there's 4, you know, hiring signs all over the place, right? They're hiring everywhere. Well, fortunately, I don't know if anybody needs a job right now, but the signs are up, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get a job, does it? It's uncertain because not only are the employees gone, but now a lot of places business is gone. Business is closed, and so there's a financial crisis. So she's experiencing, we can relate to what she's experiencing there because she's in a financial crisis. And then third, it says that she fears her sons will be lost to the creditors, that her sons will be taken and sold as slaves or used to work off the debt. And so she's got a desperate heart. What do we do when we get in that situation? What do we do when we're full of grief and uncertainty and fear? What do we do? I'll tell you what she did. She didn't go to God because, you know, Old Testament times are different than New Testament time. She went as close to God as she could get, didn't she? She went to God's man. She went to Elisha the prophet. And maybe today we would call our pastor and say, here's my burden. I ran into the Spencers yesterday, and Sister Becky was sharing some stuff with me, and Bill looked at me, and he said, all you ever get is bad news. And I said, well, that's just the way it goes. And then she shared some good news and balanced it out. But we go to our pastor when we're experiencing grief and crisis and need and uncertainty, and we're looking for some hope. Maybe not the answers, but at least some direction. Some kind of hope. And so that's what she did. She went to the man of God looking for some hope. And what happened? Verse number 2. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Is that what you want your pastor to say? What do you want me to do? By the way, I have said that before. It was a very maybe an unkind moment. The woman was complaining to me about her husband, and I looked at her and I said, you picked him. Yeah, it wasn't my best moment probably, but it was true, wasn't it? I mean, you picked him. This was your choice. This is what you wanted to do. And so she went to the man of God. But Elisha, you know, as he says this, what shall I do? It's not the same as, well, you know, what do you want me to do? But it's what I say to people all the time. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way we can help you? Is there anything that we can do to make a difference? Elisha says, so what do you want me to do? What can I do? What shall I do? And he calls on her to do this. To analyze, to assess what it is she has. To count her blessings. How many of us count our missings instead of counting our blessings? We look at all the stuff we don't have instead of all the things we do have. And I know that sometimes in that moment, we don't appreciate what we do have because of what we don't have. Isn't that true? And that's what's happening in her life. She's looking at what she doesn't have. By the way, there are people who look at what they do have and they don't appreciate it. Look at what she says. I got nothing. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. Set this pot of oil. Save a pot of oil. Right? The attitude she has, what good is it? What purpose is there to have oil? I got nothing to cook in it. What purpose is there to have oil? I've got no flour to mix with it. What purpose is it to have oil? I've got no visitors to anoint with that oil. I've got no reason to stay up at night working and have a candle burning because I got nothing to do, no materials. All I got is a pot of oil. What good is that? See, she's counting her missings and not counting her blessings. Count your blessings. Look around you. What you got? Well, we're blessed, aren't we? Aren't we? That's a real question, y'all. Are you blessed? I mean, look at what we've got. Number one, we've come into a great building. It might be raining out there, but it's not raining in here. That's good. Thank you, Brother Leroy. Appreciate that. That's not raining in here. And we don't have the air conditioner turned way down, but it's comfortable in here, isn't it? And we've got friends, and we've got... came here in automobiles. Aren't we blessed? Amen. We're blessed. Living the greatest the face of the earth. Got a great governor. Oh, I mean, we live in a great state. That's okay. If you don't like that statement, write nasty things about it. I don't care. Right? We live in a great state. I tell you what, I love living here. It's wonderful. And so, count your blessings, not your missings. What do you have? Elijah says, well, what do you have? Right? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She says, I got nothing. Nothing. Save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Now, look, this is where it comes down to where we are, right? Let me tell you something. Your testimony matters. Your reputation matters. You go to your neighbor, you're not, hey, how you doing? Good. Can I borrow a vessel? No, last time I let you borrow a vessel, you broke it. Last time I let you borrow a vessel, it came back messed up. Last time I let you borrow a vessel, you never returned it. Can you borrow one? You already got one. Your reputation matters. Your testimony matters. How we treat people matters. How we treat their stuff matters. Our relationships matter. Integrity matters. He says, borrow from your neighbors. Well, I hadn't talked to that neighbor over there in a while. Last time we had a little falling out. We're not friends anymore. Is that where we are? Hey, our friendships matter. Relationships matter. Better heal those things, because it might be that they need something, but because of the way we treated each other last time, they're not talking to us and we're missing a blessing because we can't help them. Or vice versa. Our relationships matter. Elisha says, go borrow vessels from all thy neighbors, empty vessels. That's important. Make sure there's nothing in them. Make sure they're empty. Make sure you can fill them up. And not a few. Borrow as many as they have available. Borrow all that you can. And don't just go to this neighbor and this neighbor. No, run the whole neighborhood. Go see everybody you know, all of your friends, all of your family, everybody you know, and borrow all you can. Now, how many of us could pick up a phone and call everybody we know something? Maybe $5. Just call everybody you know tonight and say, can I borrow $5? And see how far that gets you. Are we afraid to do that? Because of the last time we borrowed it. Because of the last thing we said to them. Because of the way things went the last time. You see, it's important. It's important that we have good relationships. Verse 4. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. I tell you what, it's in there. I don't know. Do you know what that means? It means keep your business personal. Keep your private business private. Keep your family business private. He said, when you get in the house, shut the world out. Close the door upon just you and your sons. Nobody else. It's nobody else's business what you're doing. I know you borrowed all those vessels, but it's nobody else's business. Have you ever met somebody that could talk themselves out of opportunities? I mean, you ever met somebody just talks too much? They just talk and they just give up more information than they should. Guys, there's nothing wrong with being truthful, but you don't have to tell everything. And so keep some stuff private. And verse 4, and shalt pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside. But I want you to see that that's all he told her. She comes to him and she says, my husband's passed away. We've got a lot of debt. And they're going to come get my sons and make them work off slaves. And he says, well, what do you have? She says, all I got. He says, go borrow all these vessels, bring them in the house with your sons, and close the doors. Pour out into all those vessels. Pour the oil in those vessels and set aside that which is full. That's all she knows, right? Has he solved her problem? Now she's got a pot of oil and a bunch of vessels. I don't know what she was thinking in her mind. I don't know if I imagine that and I say, well, I've got a gallon of oil. And that gallon, and now I go out and I borrow all the quart vessels. How many quart vessels can I fill up with a gallon of oil? Where are my math students in here? I got one over here. Four quarts and a gallon. All right, so, 8 pints, right? 8 pints, 4 quarts. So we take that, we pour, and so now I've got 4 quart vessels of oil in an empty gallon. I don't know what good it is, but that's what the preacher said to do, so I'm going to do it. You understand where I'm going? If you've got more vessels, he says, fill them up till they're full. So we're not just going to put a little bit in the bottom. And so she looks out. She's got all these vessels because she borrowed all she could, because that's what the man of God said. She brought them in the house. She put them all in the room. She brings her sons in, closed the door, and she starts pouring oil. Which vessel does she pick first? The small one? One that's smaller than what she's got? She got a pot of oil. Maybe she gets a smaller pot in there. And that was full. She said, okay, Junior, take that one and put it over in the corner. Then she pours another pot. Put that one over next to the other one. Okay. And she starts pouring. And then they're full. And she's pouring. And she's pouring. You think she ever picked up that pot and looked inside to see what was going on in that pot? Still full. She pours out some more. Fills it up. Put it over that one. Pours another one. Put it over there with that one. Still got the same amount of oil she started with. And she pours and she pours and she pours. And now she's got a room full, a house full, of vessels that are all full of oil. What do you have in the house? All I got is one pot. What do you have in the house? I got a bunch of pots of oil, but what am I doing with them? Here's the point. The point is she didn't know what she was going to do with them. She didn't know why she had it. She didn't know what was going to happen when she poured the first one. But you know what she did? She did what she was told to do. She did what he instructed her, because when she came to him for help, he said, this is what you do. She didn't know what would happen after. Guys, we don't know God's plan. I don't know every step that God wants me to go. I don't know where the end is. But I know this. I know that this is what he's to do now, and so I need to do this now. And I don't need to look for anything else until I'm doing what he told me to do now. He said, borrow the vessels, pour the oil, put the full ones aside. What if she'd have borrowed all those vessels and come back to him and said, now what? He said, well, what'd you do? I went and borrowed the vessels. Well, pour the oil in them. I told you to pour the oil in them. Why is it that we take one step and say, now what does God want me to do? God already told us what to do. God has already instructed me. The other night I said, why don't you forget everything you know and just ask God. Say, God, what would you have me to do? Forget what the preacher says to do. Forget what everybody else expects you to do. Just do what God wants you to do. Well, I can tell you something. God's given us those instructions. God wants all to be saved, doesn't he? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're not saved, now's the time. The Bible even says now is the acceptable time. When should I get saved? Now is the acceptable time. Well, how do I get saved? How far do I have to go? He said the word is nigh, even in your mouth. It's in your heart. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to go to the altar. Right where we are, from our heart to God's heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So now. Well, what next? Well, we know the Bible gives us the example of Jesus being baptized before he started ministry. We bury the past. Bury the old self, and we're risen to walk in newness of life. We know that's the next step. And we know we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're supposed to be part of God's church and involved and active in God's church. We know that. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, right? And so we're supposed to read the Bible. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing, right? So we're supposed to pray. You see, there's a whole bunch of things that God already told us to do that God, through his word, has already instructed us to do. And so don't say, God, what do you want me to do, until you've done what he's already told you to do. The problem is people are wanting to know what to do, but they haven't done what he's already told us to do. And God's not going to give us something bigger until we've done the basics, until we're in the basics. Routine, regularity, committed to it, faithful to it. She pours the oil. All the vessels are full. It says in verse number 5, she went from him and she shut the door upon her and her sons and brought the vessels and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, some more. What do you think she thought of then? Well, I wonder if I missed anybody. I wonder if there's another vessel in this town I forgot to go to. Well, all of a sudden it became important to have one more, didn't it? I wonder what's going to happen when we stand before God in judgment. When we stand before God and give an account of our stewardship, of what we've done with the gospel, of what we've done as ministers, as Christians. Have we reached enough? Have we evangelized enough? Have we told enough people about Jesus? And then all of a sudden we're going to say, well, I wish I'd reached one more. One more. I wish I'd have done more for God. And the oil stayed. Well, you know what that means? That pot was still full. What do you have in the house? Just one pot. Boy, now that pot is pretty special, isn't it? Just one pot of oil. Right now, that pot of oil, she's glad she had one pot of oil. Step back and look at all that we've got. How blessed we are and how much God's given to us. We look around and all of a sudden we don't need anything else. We don't want anything else. We've got enough. God's been good. Verse 7. She came and told the man of God. He said, oh. You understand, that's the first time he's brought that up. She had a bunch of vessels of oil, but she didn't know why she had it. Except that she did what God told her to do. That's all she did. She just did what God told her to do. Go sell the oil. Pay the debt. We don't have reason to ask what now until we've done what we know to do. Pay the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. It was going to be enough to pay off her debts. I mean, I don't know what kind of debt you've got, what the number is. For one evening of work at home, you had enough to pay it all off. Pretty good, wouldn't it? And then whatever was left over from that one day of work, live off the rest of your life. You and your family for the rest of your life. It's pretty incredible. We've got to start counting our blessings instead of our missings. We've got to start doing what we know to do instead of asking God what now. Do what we know. Do we won't have anything else to do. God will have to give it to us. A burden on our heart if there's more he wants for us. In her crisis, she went to the man of God and said, help me. And he said, I'll bet you could help yourself if we could just find a way. The answer is here. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. We're thankful that you have given us help, God, that you are our helper, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, you've given us your Son, you've given us the church, our brothers and sisters and friends that encourage us and help us along in our times of need. God, we love you. I pray that we'll not overlook the things that you have put in our presence, that we'll not overlook the opportunity that you have right here at our feet, but that we'll make the most of what we have today and not be found short, to be good stewards, faithful in all of your work. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us now with your grace. Make us useful. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.